Take your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 6. I'm going to tell you a story that you hadn't never heard before. I'm going to talk about Noah and the ark. And I know y'all hadn't heard this story before. I just found it in the Word of God. I don't know when y'all read it. No, I'm just joking. It's a very familiar story tonight. Amen. And I won't try to glean if I can from this old story. It's a familiar to us. But you know, the scriptures here we teach the little kids about Noah and the ark. Amen. But the truths that are here are so profound that even the scholars can't figure it all out. Amen. What God is doing and what God's working in our midst. When we look at book of Genesis, the first six chapters teach us so much. Genesis chapter 1, I outlined just these few little things and done it with numerology. Numerology number 1 means God, amen? And so we realize that in the beginning, God. That's what Genesis 1 is about, God. Amen. I know he created, but about God. And then Genesis chapter 2 is about division. God began to divide some things. The Bible says these are the generations. In Genesis 2:4, you don't have to look there, but these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, which they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Genesis 2:9, the Bible says he had the tree of knowledge. It says that out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life. Also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was division there. Then we see in chapter number 2 in verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, "In the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman, and brought her into the man." We see there's a division there. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." I like the way one preacher said it. He looked up and seen Eve coming. He said, "Whoa, man." Amen. And so we realize that that's how she got her name, woman. She was so beautiful. And then we come to chapter number 3. We see chapter number 3 stands for the Trinity. And so we see sovereignty. We see God Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see Satan and the Spirit and Antichrist, the false prophet. We realize that Satan has 3. And then we see the sinner, the body, soul, and spirit there in chapter number 3. We see chapter number 4, the world, Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 3. And then the process of time. Time came into existence when God created this world. And number 4 is the number of the world. And then the process of time, we realize that you and I are living. There's just a period of time for us here. Amen. What are you going to do with your little dot on this earth? Just a period of time. And it came in the process of time. And then the Bible says, in chapter 4, we're introduced to birth and we're also introduced to death. We're introduced to sweat. We're introduced to sorrow. We're introduced to life and death. We also are introduced to prayer at the end of Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 26. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Can I tell you, it still works in 2017. Amen. I'm glad you and I can still call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. We met a few minutes ago. You know what we was doing? We was calling upon the name of the Lord. I failed to mention, but Sister Gazaway that's here there visiting with us, Brother Cliff and his wife visiting with us, she's staying with her mother. Her mother will be 95 on Monday. And just got sick in her a little bit after her 94th birthday. And then she's digressing, just going down slowly. We need to pray for them as they're taking care of her mother. Then also Brother Stringer will be preaching at Trinity. We failed to mention that. This coming Sunday, we'd like to pray about that. Amen. Pray that God will just touch him. His will be done. I'm glad you and I can pray about some things. I don't know if y'all know it, but God hears. God hears our prayers. I should just be able to stop here and we should just be able to praise the Lord for a little bit. Has God ever heard your prayer? Amen. Oh, yes, God's heard our prayer. Had one person raise their hand, only one person's praying. Because if you're praying, God's hearing. Now, he might not answer it the way we want it every time. But young men, God's hearing every one of your prayers. Now, sometimes God's answer is delayed. Sometimes he don't answer a prayer right now. You know, I prayed for a wife. And I'm glad God at a certain time gave me the wife that I needed. Amen. It was further down the road, and what I might have thought, you know, I was dating a lady, and I would dating a young lady, a young girl, and pray, Lord, is this the one? And I'm glad God waited to the right one. Amen. It came by, and I thank God for that. I think you ought to pray for your wife. Amen. And then after you get married, you should still pray for her. She really needs it then. She's putting up with you. But anyway, pray. Amen. But we can call upon God. What a privilege it is. God's answered many of our prayers. I got to ride with Brother Blue to the meeting, and Brother Chris Hewitt rode with us, and Brother Will Allen and rode with us. And so we was going up through there, and they was talking about some things, and they was talking about how God answered prayer and what God done in their life. I remember one time God's answered many prayers for us, but what situations they was talking about, they asked me some things, and I said, I remember one time when I pastored in my very first church. Matter of fact, Brother Chris just preached a little bit ago at my very first church. He said, I was just at the church you pastored. He said, I mentioned your name. They don't like you at all. No, I'm just joking. They still love me there. And so, but he preached there last year. He was talking about that. And I said, you see that trailer that was set right beside of the church? He said, yeah. I said, Lord allowed us to put that trailer in. I said, that was the second place Deborah and I ever lived. We bought that trailer and moved it into Piedmont. And when I went down out of the pasture of that church, there was a little piece of partial land between us and between the church and the next house. And the man that owned the house, rented the house, and he was a businessman, very rich man, ran a real big business in Seneca, South Carolina, a big paving company and different things. And so I called him and didn't get to talk to him. I talked to his secretary, and I asked to talk to him, and I called a few times, and finally I just left a note with the secretary, amen. I said, this is what I'm calling about. I'm calling about this little parcel of land that's between us and the house. And if he don't want to sell us this proper partial land, we would consider even looking at buying the house. And so about 2 weeks later, she called me back. She said, he's not wanting to sell that. He's renting the house. He wants that buffer in between. And he said, he's not going to sell it. And so, but you know, we've been praying about that. And I figured that was God's answer. We weren't going to get it. About 3 weeks later, that same lady called me. And she said, he's going to sell you that partial land. He's drawn up the plans. You just come up here and get them. Amen. We had mentioned, and so we mentioned how much we'd like to pay for it, or what he would ask for it, and what we'd be willing to pay. And so right there, he just worked out the plans, and we bought it, and maybe we put that. Hey, God answers prayer. Yeah. Just change that man's mind. You know what? I've still never seen that man or talked to that man. Never have. Didn't see him then. Never have talked to him. Can't even tell you his name right now. But I tell you what, I believe God stirred him some reason. Amen. I believe somehow that land got to thinking about. He got to think about that land and said, hey, you know, I'm going to let that church have it. You know, that was the hand of God. You can't make me think any other different. Because he said, she said he has no plans in selling that, no plans whatsoever. And so, but in just a few weeks, God made him sell it. Amen. Amen. Y'all act looking at me like I'm funny. Now, I believe that. Yeah. Young people, you young people there, hey, you just remember that God can hear your prayer. Yeah. Amen. And God can change situations. And the Bible says that they begin to men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. I may never get to know over here, but amen. I'm telling you, you and I can call upon the Almighty God. Hey, you and I have privilege to have access to God Almighty. We can enter into the throne room of God. Amen. And talk to God Almighty. Aaron was talking not too long ago when all the election was going on and Trump was coming to Jacksonville, and Aaron then went over there to see him. And I asked him, I said, did you get to talk to him? He said, I didn't get to talk to him. I didn't even get near him. Amen. Amen. There's so many people and so many things around, and he just darted in and darted out. Amen. I may never get to talk to the President of the United States, but I can talk to the man that knows the President and has him in the palm of his hand and can guide him and can lead him. I can talk to God Almighty, and men begin to pray unto the Lord God, pray unto the Lord. Men begin to pray. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. We begin to get to pray. Brother, I know you prayed before. Amen. I've seen you bowed up here praying. But I believe the reason that you and I are not seeing more done is because your pastor don't pray enough. Because our people don't pray enough. And we don't believe in prayer enough. We don't have faith. I'm telling you, I've told you, this church has taught me faith. And I've tried to grow in faith in the 15 years I've been here. And I hope that you've grown in faith. I'm telling you, God can do great things if you and I would just listen to God and follow God and lead God. I mean, and be led by God. We can do great things.
Amen.
Amen. There's no telling what God can do. One of the preachers preached today on dreams, on Joseph and being a dreamer. Now, I'm glad God gave us a vision, gave us a dream. He was talking about the first, not the first church, but the church he pastored, his wife. And I can't enter into this, Brother Steve. I can't enter into this. But he's talking about his wife came down with cancer. And she suffered 12 long years. And on the 13th year, she died. She was invalid for about nine of those years. He had to take her here. And he said, my whole ministry was taking care of my wife and pastoring that flock of people. And he said, I'm telling y'all right now, he said, I lost my dream. He said, I lost my dream. I can't enter into that. I can't imagine what he was doing, what he was going through, the suffering that he faced, to lose a mate and different things like that. I can't understand. I can't enter into that. You can't either without you've experienced it yourself. But he said he lost his dream for that church and for the ministry. And he said after she passed away, about a year there, God began to just touch his heart a little bit again. And he said the church was doing fine, said we was just coasting along fine. And of course, God gave him another mate about 3 years later. And about 5 years later, another church called him to pastor. And he said, I don't know what happened, but he said, I become the pastor of that church. And he said, it like an explosion inside of me. He said, God gave me my dream back. Amen. And I began to dream. And he said, we're working on that dream. Do you realize Joseph? He had to wait a long time for his dream ever came true.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It takes sometimes a long time for the dream to come around, Brother Stringer. But don't stop dreaming. Amen. You and I can call upon the name of the Lord. He can speak to us. He can talk to us. He can show us. And I tell you, 15 years ago, God gave me a dream. God gave me a vision, this place. And I'm glad last night when I seen that choir singing, I thought about, God, that was your vision. That was one thing that we thought that the church, the school would do, to go and sing. And it's getting harder and harder. But I tell you what, it touches so many people's hearts. Today when I was there, several of the people come by, several of the elderly ladies came out and said, oh, those young people was just such a blessing. I want you young people to know that you can be such a blessing. Such a blessing. But that's a dream. God's letting us live our dreams. Isn't that a blessing? You know why? Because we've called upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We called upon the name of the Lord. What was I going to preach on? I forgot. We called upon the name of the Lord. Chapter number 5, we see grace. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I believe there's one thing that antibiotics are doing. It makes me so thirsty. My mouth is so dry. Been dry all day long. I believe that's one thing it's making me do, and it's making me do some other things too. It's not good. But Enoch was translated, a great picture of grace. And then we come to chapter number 6, and we see man. And that's where my text is at today. Verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man. Of course, number 6 is a number of man. And we come to this text. God saw the wickedness of the man was great up in the earth, great in the earth. That every imagination was thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I wrote over that text in my Bible, wonder what God's seeing today. It says that in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I believe he's seeing a lot of things that he's seen in Noah's day. Brother Steve, I believe he's seen a lot of things that he's seen in that wickedness, man's wickedness. Their imagination on the thoughts of their hearts was on evil continuously. Everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, evil's all around us. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. You know, God was just disgusted. Verse number 7, God said, I'm going to destroy. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But oh, here, look at it. But Noah, that little man Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said, I'm disgusted. I'm going to destroy. But God had the plan of deliverance. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? I preached a message a long time ago on living for God in the days of Noah. And you and I can live for God even in the time and the days of Noah. Noah walked with God. The Bible says in verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And perfect in his generation. That did not mean that he wasn't sin. He didn't sin, but he was mature in his generation. And Noah walked with God. I tell you what, God was determined. Look at verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And he told him to build an ark. And you know the story from there. You told him to build an ark. So many people don't realize it, but this is a picture. When you see Enoch was translated, that's a picture of the church headed out. We see Noah is a picture of the Jews going through the tribulation period. Even though there was judgment all around them, God protected them and carried them through the judgment. That's one application of this if you want to have it. But here, I want to just get some simple truths. Here are so simple truths. You may laugh at them, but that's okay. I just got about 15 more minutes of laughter in me. Amen. And it's simply this. This is the first point that I have. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. It's the only way of protection. It's the only way of deliverance. It's the only way out. Amen. Don't miss the boat. Amen. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Boy, we better not miss the boat. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved by the marvelous grace of God, you know what? Better not miss the boat. Amen. The only way you'll get to go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. Amen. And you're not going to come to him. You're not going to come to him no other way. You don't go to heaven no other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' way or no way. Amen. Amen. It's by faith, for by grace you say through faith, that not himself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, if you're going to get saved, you're going to come through Jesus. You're going to have ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and cry out to him and ask Jesus to save you.
Amen.
There could be somebody sitting here tonight that's never been saved. Could be a young person, could be an older person. And you've never been saved by the marvelous grace of God. If you don't cry out to God, you're doomed.
Right.
I'm telling you, God was determined to destroy. Am I not still in the Bible? God was determined to destroy. And may I say, he has told us in the book of Revelation that he once again is going to touch this earth.
Amen.
With destruction. And he'll be determined about it, my friend. And may I say, just in this day, he said, I will destroy. He will destroy. He will once again bring judgment upon this earth. Amen. Tribulation's coming. Judgment's coming.
Amen.
I'm glad you and I are going to check out of here. If you're saved, hey, we're headed out before the tribulation period. We are pre-trib, ain't we?
Amen.
Amen. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you could come right now.
Amen.
You can't be an all-millennialist and believe that.
Yeah.
You can't be a post-millennialist and believe that. Amen. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can come right now.
Amen.
Jesus, there's nothing in this Bible that needs to be fulfilled for him to come.
Amen.
You better not miss the boat. John 10:9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. I guess we could say this, and it was looked at Noah. Noah planned ahead. You better plan ahead. You better make provisions for your soul. You better make provisions for your life. Can I say to a mom and dad here, if you get saved, God could work in your life and he could save your family and save your children. What a blessing it is to know that we can have household salvation.
Amen.
Ain't much said about that no more, but household salvation.
Amen.
Now, I know when children get to the age of accountability and then when they get on their own, I know they make their own decisions and they've got to decide whether they want to accept the Lord. But don't miss the boat. We need to plan ahead. Amen. Then this, here's another, just a simple thought. Now, just a simple thought. Don't forget that we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, don't forget that you and I are all in the same boat. If you're saved, we're all in the church. If you're saved, we're all part of the family of God. If you're saved, we're all blood bought and redeemed.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
We should just enjoy the ride. Amen. It don't matter how you feel tonight. It don't matter really even how you act tonight, even though I think we should act godly. If you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, you're in the boat.
Right.
You're headed to the other side. Amen. And not on that, let me give you another one very quickly. I'll just give you the rest of these. Don't tell God you're too old to do a work for God. Noah was just 500 years old when God called him to build the ark. Amen. Now, I know they lived longer in that day, but I don't think you should tell God you're too old or you're too young. If God puts a call on your life, God puts a dream in you, if God puts a vision in you, then you should live and do that which God has purposed in your heart to do.
Amen.
You know, I believe what's wrong in a lot of our churches today is we've got people sitting in the pew and God has showed them what he wanted them to do, the purpose for their life, and they have failed to fulfill that purpose.
Yeah.
Brother Steve, I think God knows how to reach the whole world, don't you? And I think God would have made a plan for us to get Great Commission. Brother Bo, I don't think he would have asked us to do anything that we could not do.
Amen.
It's not an impossible task. We think of it as an impossible task. But we remember in the Bible, nothing's impossible with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The one that can raise up the dead, the one that can touch the blind, make them to see, the deaf to hear. Hey, there's nothing impossible with him.
That's right. Amen.
So evidently, if we're supposed to be reaching the world, evidently we got a lot of people that hasn't answered the call.
Right.
I believe God would have it for every church that he has planted and he has birthed, local church that he's put, I believe he's had it to flourish and to be a soul winning station, be a place where men and women, boys and girls can come and get birthed in the family of God. And we're just going to have to put our own condemnation. We might as well just, we can put blinders on if you want to. But we're just not seeing enough people saved at Philadelphia Baptist Church. And I don't think that's God's will. So from the pulpit all the way to the back pew, are we fulfilling God's purpose for our life? Are we being that witness? Are we being that light? Are we having that testimony? Are we being that voice for God? Let's take our own inventory. I don't know. I don't know what God's purpose for your life is. I don't. But God does, and probably you do. I believe all of us could be a better witness. I believe all of us could be a better testimony. I believe all of us could have a more vocal list of witness for the Lord. I wonder how many in the building tonight has took a track and had it with somebody in the last month. I wonder how many has spoke about Jesus to someone. You said, preacher, it just don't come that way to me. I ain't got that kind of personality. No, you like something. You'll talk about something.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be football, basketball, baseball, whatever they call that, fighting on the hockey ice, fighting on ice. They call it hockey, I think. But you'll talk about something. Could be hunting. Could be fishing. Ladies, it could be something shopping. Could be some kind of fashion. Could be some kind of perfume. Could be some kind of makeup. Or you'll talk about some kind of diet that's supposed to work. Or something. Some kind of natural thing. You'll talk about something. But how many of us is willing to share Jesus? I know you're the cream of the crop tonight, but just remember, you and I, hey, God has asked us to do something. Don't say you're too young, you're too old, you're too ignorant. Let me give you another one quickly. Don't listen to the critics.
Yeah.
Just do what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
Joseph didn't listen to the critics. Job didn't listen. Here's another one. Don't think God will be finished with You'll get your finished work in a day. Took over 100 years to build the ark. You know, we just had the privilege to go and see the ark that they built up in Kentucky. And I haven't said much about it from the pulpit, but I went up there and I said, that thing's massive. It's massive. And it's supposed to be the original side. And I love seeing it. We went in and you walk through the whole thing. And you go through on both sides of the ark. You walk up this way and they got displays and different things they talk about. Now, there's a lot of things in there I don't know that the Bible don't teach us. I mean, the Bible don't tell us how he fed them. He don't tell how he watered them. They have figured out ways that could be done in the ark. Matter of fact, they said the top of that ark was with 1 inch of water, they could fill all the pools of water that they need, all their tanks that they had in there of pottery for water. This 1 inch of rain would fill that whole thing up because of the dimensions of that ark. I tell you this, they needed water. They needed food. God made provisions for them. Amen. They had a way that even the waste could be got rid of. It was amazing. It's amazing. I don't know if that's the way God did it or the way Noah did it, but I tell you what, it was amazing to see. But I do know this. It took a long time and a lot of hard work to do. And the ministry won't be done in a day. It won't be done in a year. Your ministry would take all your life to fulfill the ministry that God would have you to do. Let me just give you these others. I'm not going to preach them. Really, down here is one I really want to preach. Don't thank God. Don't think God has to have a professional to do something for God. Don't think you have to be professional. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic was built by professionals. Amen. Just remember that. Let me give you another one. Don't be concerned about the outside. You just need to keep the inside in order.
Yeah, amen.
You remember there was woodpeckers in there, termites, beavers, and carpenter bees. They was an enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we got to keep the inside right. Here's another one. Don't forget God fills the boat. We just need to bring them in and have room for them. Don't forget to feed what God puts on the boat. Don't forget God is in control of the water level. And lastly, don't forget there's a rainbow waiting at the end. There's a rainbow waiting for us. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that God is working in our life. That God is protecting us and making provision, making guidance for you and I. Just a little simple truth from Noah. Let's bow our heads. The greatest thing would be for you and I tonight to make sure that we're just on the boat. We don't miss the ride. I'm glad as a little six-year-old boy I got saved by the marvelous grace of God and got in the boat. Christ got in. And you and I don't have to worry about the water level outside. We don't have to worry about the circumstances going on around us. All we need to worry about is how we're living our life and what we're doing for God. Do we have faith in God? Are we trusting God like we should? Are we living for God like we should? Are we ministering like we should? Are we faithful like we should? Are we good stewards like we should be? Oh, so many things can be said. And I could say 100 things and not touch what God was saying to you right now. But the Holy Ghost of God could prick your heart and show you what you need right now. You know what you need. God can show it to you. We're standing, Brother Mike, singing if you'll come.